Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Muthoot Finance 3Q FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during a conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thanks, Vikram. We have with us today the senior management of Muthoot Finance, represented by Mr. George Jacob, Chairman, Mr. George Alexander Muthoot, Managing Director, Mr. Alexander M. George, Whole-Time Director, Mr. George M. Alexander, Whole-Time Director, Mr. George M. George, Whole-Time Director, Mr. George M. Jacob, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Epin Alexander, Executive Director, Mr. K. R. Bijimon, Executive Director, and Mr. Oman K. Mamun, Chief Financial Officer. We at Motilal Oswal thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host this earnings call today. We will begin the call with opening remarks from MD sir, and post that we will open up the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Muthoot.
Thank you, Motilal Oswal. Good day to all. Welcome to the conference call of 2023 Q3. The consolidated loan assets under management increased to ₹65,085 crores, which is up by 7% year on year, and the consolidated PAT also increased to 934, which is also up by 4% quarter on quarter. Standalone assets under management is 57,731, which is up by 6%. Standalone profit after tax is at 902 crores, which is also up by 4%. We had received permission to open 150 branches. We had opened many branches in the last two quarters. In this quarter, we opened 54 branches. Another 30 branches are remaining, which will be opened in February and March, and all the 150 will be completed by March. Thereafter, we plan to approach the regulator for the next set of maybe 150 or more branch, 150 branches. And all these branches which you opened are spread all over the country, north, east, west, and south. We have also raised 422 crores through the 28th and 29th public issue of the secured redeemable non-convertible debentures. And we have also launched marketing campaign showcasing the message, put your goal to work. We have done a very good media publicity on this, and it is actually started showing results. And all the other comments are also with you. All the other financial highlights are with you. I think I'll now close and probably open up the same for question and answers. Thank you. I have with me all the others, some of them present in the room are our CFO, Mr. Oman, and ED, Mr. K.R. Bijimon. The others have joined online from the team. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Should we now open the floor for questions?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone now. We have a first question from the line of Vaibhav Barjatya with Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for providing the opportunity. We are now into upper layer, we are classified as upper layer NBFC. So if you can help us understand what is the incremental regulatory restrictions or any other restrictions which is there on us as being part of upper layer NBFC as compared to any other lower layer of NBFC?
Thank you. And I think there are no restrictions. There are only more disclosures and compliances. It is more of disclosures and compliances. And to tell you the fact, in the last 2 years itself, we have been to comply with many other, many more reports and regulations. And to my personal understanding of these, there is nothing much we need to do afresh compared to us being in a upper layer, because every year we are inspected by the Reserve Bank. Every year the last inspection is also just over. So as soon as they come, as soon as after the inspection, they give us more and more new compliances, new disclosures, etc. RAR, RMPR, all those risk mitigation plans, etc. Everything has been there for the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 quarters it is there. And all these things we have started complying. And I think the upper layer bracket just puts all these things together. And another compliance which was there was the company to get listed. We are already listed. So I think some of the companies in the 16 member group, some of them may not be listed, probably they like to get listed. So that's what I said. As far as we are concerned, there is nothing much more to be complied. And to answer your question, there is no restrictions.
No difference in terms of regulatory requirement relating to minimum capital adequacy or the risk weightage or nothing like that.
Yeah, that's all there always. That's all. That's already been there.
Okay.
Already been there. That's all. All these things have already been compliant. There's nothing new additional to be done.
No, for you, there's no incremental thing. But what I'm saying, the difference between the lower layer and the upper layer.
Yeah. That is there in the act or the regulation itself. Yes.
Okay, fine. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Shweta Daptardar with Elara Capital. Please go ahead. Lost the line of Shweta. We take the next question from the line of Sagar Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Actually, my first question is related to, I wanted to understand a little bit about the ground, on the ground view regarding our gold finance business. As you have mentioned in your presentation, you have stopped the teaser loans actually, which were low yielding in nature. But now I think you are suggesting that the competition is decreasing, especially maybe the competition is realizing that the gold finance business is not as easy as it seems actually. So wanted to understand that are we in such a phase that we'll return to the era which we clocked almost a double digit growth in AUM almost every quarter. So will we return to that, or are you seeing some different signs on ground? That is my first question.
Okay. So I think you're right. We have said like that, competition, the people who have just jumped into the gold loan fray are also starting slowly to realize that it is an operationally challenging business. That's one part of it. And that is the sense I get from my branches, from the branches and the staff there. That is what one side of it. The second, your question was whether we will return. Hopefully we should return. Whether it will take 1 quarter, 2 quarter, or 4 quarters, it's yet to be seen. But to me, after 3, 4 quarters, we should get back to the double-digit growth.
Okay. So basically, the demand from the customers would be on the higher ticket range or the lower ticket range, sir? Can you specify a ticket size range where you are seeing some incremental demand?
No, no, the increment, the demand is there. It depends on the location. Maybe in tier 2, tier 3 cities, it is the lower one. And in the bigger cities, it may be the higher one. But that's not a big big differentiator, because the, it depends on the type of people who are coming there. It is not that one area, only the maybe the lower level people are coming. No, everywhere, what type of people are there? We see demand coming from all over, because people need purchasing power, whether it is the lower level, middle level or upper level, everybody needs more money. Some people need more money. So I think generally our average ticket size is about 70,000 rupees. So you should see that people in that range are the people who are coming to us mostly.
Sure, sir. My next question, sir, was related to our non-gold finance businesses. Right now, they constitute around 12%, and you have mentioned here in the presentation that you intend to actually grow that businesses to increase the proportion of those businesses out of your total AUM. So any specific number that you would like to throw, that in the next 2 years, you would like to bring that percentage into the up to this percentage of total AUM? Do you have a target?
Yeah, it is almost 12%, touching 13% is what, a year back it was 10% only. Now it is touching 12 to 13%. So what we have done is we have started a few non-gold loan business 3 to 4 years back. That is the personal loan, the home finance loan, the vehicle loan, MSME loans, etc. And soon after that, COVID also came. And we went slow on that, but during the COVID, we were able to moderate all these businesses and also learn many things from there. So most of these loans were meant for giving to our existing gold loan customers. Now that COVID etc. is behind us, these businesses have now started growing, and we are giving focus there also. That is why you see our non-gold loan portfolio is also starting to increase. And we have not put on any specific numbers there, but in the next 3-4 years we would like, or 3-4 years plus, we would like this to grow to 15% and 20% is what is in our mind. But at the same time, all our focus will, or the first priority, first preference will be for growing the gold loan business. And there is what we would see a 10% growth maybe in the next year. End of next year, we should see a 10% growth in the gold loan business, and in the others, the proportion should reach about, maybe start growing from 13 to 14 to 15, probably about 20% by three, 4 years.
Okay, sure, sir. So basically, you are saying almost 10% growth in your gold loan business. So that's quite less as compared to, you can say, the pre-COVID level. So it's just because of the competition you are specifying this low growth actually, or is it something else?
No, it is just a conservative estimate, that's all. Just being conservative. That's
thank you. We take next question from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, my question is related to growth. If I was to look at your number of loan accounts outstanding, we are significantly lower compared to where we were, let's say, in March 21. And even during the year-to-date period, the number of loan accounts have been shrinking. If you could just give some color as to what exactly is happening in terms of new customer acquisition, and how do you see the pace of new customer acquisition kind of shaping up over the next 1 to 2 years?
We were not giving too much importance to the number of customers. Generally looking at the AUM, because that is where the money, the income is, not in the number. Probably not very sure about these numbers, but then we are focusing more on the gold loan total AUM. So that has been steady, it has not come down.
slightly improving.
But sir, okay, so in that case, if you could just help me that whether the competition in the high ticket gold loan segment has it kind of subsided, or because on the ground, I mean, we do see banks as well as other NBFCs getting significantly active in the large ticket home loan segment, or you believe that is not the case?
No, the competition is there from NBFCs, etc. It's not competition. They are also competing for the same business. I won't say competition. Everybody is trying to do loans or do business, get business from all these people. Whether it is the smaller fellows, probably some banks do small loans. Some banks do, generally banks give a bigger loans, etc. Even banks also sometimes give lower loans to probably to the as agricultural loans, etc. So in that sense also, banks are doing this.
Understood. The other question again was to our growth aspirations. So for next year, you indicated that you would like to grow the standalone gold loan business at about 10-odd%. For the current fiscal also, we had kind of put out a number, a similar sort of a growth number. But if I look again during the year-to-date period, we are almost flattish. How should we look at growth from FY23 perspective as well? And also, if you could just provide a little context from against the background that the gold prices have been increasing last quarter as well as in the current quarter, but that doesn't seem to be reflecting into our gold loan AUM growth. And LTV seem to be dropping. Just wanted to understand a little bit on that front.
See, LTV dropping is because the gold price has gone up, the LTV definitely should drop. We are seeing growth in the last 2 months, so that is why you see a small uptick compared to last quarter. That is what you have seen. And next 2 quarters also, you should see better gold loan growth. So we should end the year with about 4 to 5% growth by the end of the year. That's what our expectations are. So on that basis that we expect the next full year to reach about 10% growth. That's what our expectations are. So you see, growth has started coming back, and that is what we see.
Understood. And sir, just the last question was on the subsidiary performance. So if you were to look, clearly the microfinance subsidiary seems to have come out of the woods and growing at a pretty steady clip. But if I also look at the housing finance business now, the AUMs for that business have been fairly stagnant for a good period of time. So from a consolidated AUM perspective, how should we look at the overall mix between AUMs from a 2 to 3 year perspective? That would be my last question. Thanks.
That's what I said. We would like to. We went slow, especially the home finance and the personal loan and the vehicle finance books slow during the COVID time. Now it is behind us. We have now restarted growing these things, and we have now a new CEO for the home finance also. He has joined us 2 weeks back, and we have mandated or we are planning and budgeting for a very substantial growth in the home finance sector also, home finance business also in the coming year. That's specifically for home finance. In the personal loan sector also, we have now tested the waters in the last 2-3 years. We have gone through a cycle with the COVID also, so we have learned quite a few things. We have understood, we have modified our systems, our processes, etc. And you should see the personal loan book also growing, so also the MSME loans. So all the other loans, we have now put correct people in place, correct vertical heads in place, and we should see growth coming in those also in addition to the gold loan.
All right, perfect. Great. Thank you so much for this, and good luck for future quarters. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra with Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity, sir. The first question is around branch expansion. We have increased most amount of our branches in West in third quarter. However, if I look at the productivity of branches, sir, the East or the branches in East India are way more productive than West India. So it seems a bit counterintuitive why we are not increasing more branches in East India. That's the first question. The second question is around growth and competition. When I look at our website, sir, there are so many schemes which are listed at lower ticket sizes for lower interest rates as low as 9% and going up to ticket sizes almost up to 5 crores. So is competition a real threat? What kind of ticket sizes and is the competition really active in? And the third is a data keeping question, sir. If you can split the AUM into less than 1 lakh, 1 to 2 lakh, 2 to 3 lakh and 3 lakh and above as a proportion of AUM, sir, it will be very helpful. Thanks.
So the first question is about geography. So we are aware wherever there is business, per branch business may be high in some geography, some regions. We will be opening more and more branches in those areas. Definitely, we should look at many other factors also while considering to open branches. There are security, safety reasons also, which also we have to take into consideration while opening branches. So, rest assured that if there is a growth potential in any place, we will be the first one to open branches there. Your second question was about people offering low interest rates. So I think I should answer all this in one way, one word only. There are so many players coming into the market now. Some are, everybody thinks that gold loan is a very easy business, easy to run business, a bed of roses. That is what people outside are thinking. But once you come in, only they feel that, oh, to get business, I have to offer loans at 6%, 7%, 8%. That is one set of people. Others are thinking that you can take two or three employees from Muthoot or some other place and start a business. Fine. But there, and there are few things which are very operationally very challenging for any gold loan business. One is the frauds which happen in branches. Where it is, see, all the new players, etc., especially banks, they rely on an external appraiser for appraising the gold. Whereas Muthoot does it in-house. All our branches, all our staff are trained to do this. So everything is done in-house. Whereas people outsource that is again a very risky proposition, which people will realize only after a while, not initially, after a while. The second is we have started the loan at home to help our customers to get their gold to Muthoot. And we send our own staff to collect the gold. Whereas most others, including banks or whoever does that, or third party, it's a third party who is going to collect the gold. And customers are never comfortable with handing over their valuables to a third party who will take it to maybe X bank or Y bank or Y NBFC. So this is, and you will see, you will read in the papers also so many staff frauds, etc., happening in branches. We have a team of 1,000 audit staff who goes around these 5,000 branches and ensures that the quality, quantity, purity, etc. are up. Now, we have a 13-layer security systems in our branches. 13-layer security to prevent all sorts of robbery, burglary, etc. So, these things, we have invested money into this, we invested time into people into this. People are not realizing this. Everybody jumping into this, offering at 9%, you said, I don't know, you said 9%, 5 crore, 10 crore, etc. I don't know what is their maths in that, what is their final expense, what is their profit in that. So finally, what is happening is going to happen is what happened 10 years back when many players jumped into the gold loan business, thinking it is very easy, etc. After starting to do business, after growing the business only, they realize the implications, the operational intensity, operational challenges, etc., and they lose interest. So that's what I said. Slowly, the intensity is coming down, and we should see only serious, focused players in gold loan continuing in this. All the others who come into just seeing like everybody getting attracted, like maybe attracted to this business, they will come after some time, they realize, and they, whether it is the profitability side, whether it is the control side, whether it is the fraud side, or the safety, security, etc., people will realize only after that. So I think it is just a matter of a little time that it is a matter of time that we will get back to our old business growth.
Right. So just one counter question to this, sir. Given the fact that we understand gold finance so well, would you want to give a blue sky guidance for growth in FY24? We have given a conservative estimate of around 10%. Would that be a blue sky scenario as well, sir? Can, like 15-20%, if you can comment on it.
We just gave a conservative number only. Let us wait and see. It is not that tomorrow everybody is going to stop this. It will take some time. Maybe one quarter, two quarter, three quarter, let us give it some time. Anyway, we are not, not that we are making any losses, we are making reasonable profit. Instead of the peak profit of 3,900, we are making something small lesser than that in a year. That's all. Otherwise, nothing great. So we have made about 900 crores every quarter. So I think that itself is reasonable to sustain us. But I don't know about the new players who will be able to sustain this.
Sure. So my data keeping question, sir, the ticket size wise AUM split, sir?
Yeah, less than 1 lakh will be about 41%. Between 1 lakh and 3 lakh, it will be 35%. And above 3 lakhs will be 24%.
Thank you, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Shweta Daptardar with Ilara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. The first being, so similar to what earlier participants had raised, so why on sequential basis your LTVs have dropped from 69% to 65%? Is it the outcome of competition, or should we attribute to anything coming from the regulatory side?
No, it is just because the price of gold has gone up. The price of gold has gone up, so the LTV will be lesser.
Okay. Secondly, so you guided for 10% growth, right, for the forthcoming year. So what ticket segment should drive this particular 10% growth? Should we presume that low ticket gold loan market is sort of not coming back, and therefore, because your ticket sizes have also gone higher, right? So largely this near term 10% growth is going to come from which ticket segment?
No, we have not looked at ticket size. We feel that the growth will come from all the branches. We have not looked at the ticket size growth, etc. It is not that we are going to give only high ticket loans or low ticket loans. Whoever comes for gold loan, whether it's high ticket or low ticket, our branches are equipped to do that. I don't think we differentiate between high ticket, low ticket, etc.
So there is gold loan demand on the low ticket side as well, even today.
Yes, there is, definitely there is. That is why our average is still about 75,000 only. Low ticket, we have people taking 5,000, 7,000, 10,000 also. So many people are there. Definitely. Any customer who comes to the branch, we will service them, irrespective of the ticket size.
Okay, so one last question from my side. Are we by any chance cross-selling any of our gold loans to our Belstar MFI customers?
MFI customers, no, there is nothing like a cross-sell, etc. for MFI customers. MFI customers take MFI loans, gold loan customers take gold loan. A customer who has taken a vehicle loan from somewhere, from Bajaj, will also take a gold loan. Somebody who has taken a housing loan from State Bank of India may also have a gold loan. That is all there. There is nothing like a cross-sell, etc.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Sripal Doshi with Equirus Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I wanted to ask you about policy for acquiring.
Sir, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Doshi. Your line is not very clearly audible. Could you please use the handset and come to an area where the network is stable and then ask the question? Thank you.
Can you hear me now properly?
This is better. Yes. Please go ahead.
Sir, wanted to ask you about have we tweaked the policy with respect to acquiring customers from other banks and NBFCs in the gold financing space, and also wanted to understand if some employee has left us, because there has been the strategy wherein other NBFCs and banks are acquiring our employees. So do we have a policy wherein we accept them back when they come back? So just wanted your thoughts on these two aspects.
Acquiring customers, I've heard. Acquiring staff is first time I'm hearing. Anyway, jokes apart, people have gone away from us. Sometimes they come back. If we feel that he was a good resource and he went astray by mistake, we will take him back, sir. We'll take him back. There is no policy of maybe taking from wherever source gold loan comes, we'll take, whether it is from bank or customer, everywhere somebody brings it. If he takes it from a bank and come, we'll take it. If he takes it from an NBFC and come, if he takes it from his house also, we'll take it.
Got it. No, sir, because we had done some channel checks which suggested that we had some restrictions with respect to, say, BT in cases for gold, and also for employees as well. So just wanted, and so have we tweaked these policies in the recent times or just?
No, you, anybody who asks you if he's a good person, we tell him we'll take him back, sir.
Got it. And so why the GNPA number sequentially has gone up?
Sir, NPA.
NPA number is sequentially increased by almost 50%.
I think nobody usually asks that question now. At least analysts don't ask. Only the press people ask about NPA. NPA for gold loan is doesn't affect the P&L at all, because the 100% gold is there. We get back the interest and principal. So retaining some customers, although they are NPA, is definitely a customer-friendly approach, because customers, otherwise the next option is when the NPAs are becoming, just because it has crossed the time limit. So if you give them a little more time, they'll take it back. Otherwise, you have to auction the gold. So auctioning gold is very painful to the customer. So when customers request, we give them more time. And since we are in the money, especially now that there is a gold price also high, we are in the money.
Right.
So we don't auction it. So all what you see as NPA, it is not some hardcore gold default, etc. It is people to whom we have given some more time to take back their gold. So we don't see a credit loss. There are no credit losses, sir. Credit loss is only 0.02%.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, got it, sir. And sir, so incrementally you've been guiding for a 10% growth. So that would be broadly. So how much of it could be driven by this new branches that we'll be adding?
See, new branches last year, or we are opening about 150 branches. They're not going to grow much in the first year, so in coming years, those branches will start giving business. But more than that, we have capability of doing more. So today, our average per branch business is about 11 crores plus. So in Ibra, there are branches with 30, 35 crores and 40 crores also. So potentially, every branch can do this, depending on the location and the type of people, community they serve. This can go up to even 30 also. So even without branches, the AUM can really go up. But then opening branches in good places is definitely something which we need to do, and that we are doing. So next year also, we'll be opening new branches. New branches definitely adds to business, but not to very substantial business in the initial 1-2 years.
Got it. And next year, sir, also we are requesting for another 150 branches, right?
You said, once this is completed, it will be completed. Once we'll ask request for the next set of branches.
Got it. And sir, any yield increase that we are doing incrementally? Pricing?
Yield increase, exactly, we do when the cost of borrowing goes up. So if the cost of borrowing, etc., goes up, we will pass on that to our customer also, because we try to maintain our NIM.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions, sir.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Pradeep Agrawal with Systematic Shares and Stocks. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. I have a couple of questions basically on the teaser book side. So while we understand that, you know, in H2 FY22, we had a large part of the book which was about teaser rate loans, which got matured in this quarter and some will mature in next quarter. So what will be the adjusted growth in AUM this quarter on a sequential basis if we adjust for teaser rate book, normalized book growth would have been
both? Teaser rates, we have been doing teaser rates for the last 10 years.
We
don't call it teaser rate, we call it differential rate. So we have always, even today, we have loans at 8.9%, 10%, 12%, 18%, 20%, 21%. We have, and the yield, etc., is on a blended basis. So today also we have, but we had an ultra low teaser rate 3 years, we should call it
two, three quarters back,
and now we have stopped it also, that is low. But even now we have loans at 8.9%, 9.9%, 10%. We have to offer differential rate to differential people, only then we can be in the market. So that is what we do. And we try to maintain a blended higher yield. That is our scope, sir. The ultra teaser rate is what you are talking about, 6-9%.
Why I'm asking this question is because in quarter 3 and quarter 4 last year, our disbursement have grown significantly after we brought in ultra teaser rates. So just want to understand, you know, the book which we have done on that ultra teaser rate loans, what portion of that book
fully gone out from our books?
From stopped the scheme towards the end of March, and we migrated all those customers with effect from July 1st, 2022. So that is over.
Okay, so we did not have any maturity which was due in current quarter of those ultra teaser rate loans.
So those loans got migrated even before its maturity.
Okay. Got it. Secondly, also, you know, would like to understand your employees base have come down by about 800 odd people, whereas your branches are rising. To some extent. So anything to read into that?
So it could be because of the branch additions as well as some normal exits which can happen. Now sometimes it is seasonal, when you pay out larger payouts, etc. So it is an impact of post subsequent event of those actions.
Okay. Also, just a added question on the teaser side, looking at the past 1 to 2 years behavior, if you can give some sense in terms of, those ultra rate or less than 10% rate, what proportion of the customers normally stay back with us even after increasing those rates? What has been your experience in the last 12 months after, putting those interest rates of 7%, 8%? Some sense on that.
We gave them an option of going into the higher take bracket. Even without anything else, many of these customers, the average tenure is only 3 months, 4 months. Even without doing anything, these people will take back their gold. So that is the given thing. Some people who renew the gold and continue with us, maybe some of them continued. Few of them would have taken back. We did not get into nitty-gritty of that. If somebody is not interested to keep with us, just want to take it away, they would have taken it away. But majority of them would have closed it even otherwise. Even if there is nothing else, all the loans are generally for 3-4 months only.
Okay. Just one last question, data keeping question. What was the auction number during the quarter?
Roughly 200 crores. 223 crores or something.
223.
Okay. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Nidesh Jain with Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, the 10% guidance that we are putting out for next year, what is the expectation of volume growth in terms of number of customer growth? When we say 10% growth, how much we expect from number of customer growth in that?
We do not look at the number of customers, etc. I think I was talking more about the AUM growth, sir. Number of customers is only a byproduct of that.
Okay. Secondly, in our subsidiary housing finance, we are seeing AUM decline, asset quality, GNPA continues to remain elevated. So what is happening there? What is the strategy there in that subsidiary?
10 minutes back, I actually told that we are now restarted all these businesses which we went slow during the COVID period. The housing finance, the personal loan, the vehicle loans, the MSME loans, etc. We have now restarted it. And specifically for housing finance, we have got a new CEO on board also. He has joined us a month back, less than a month back. And we are sitting with him putting up the business plans for the next 3-4 years or so. We should see the growth coming back in the home finance also. That's what your question. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And lastly, on the microfinance, what is the reason of PAT declining sequentially? Versus last quarter, we reported around 21 crores of PAT. This quarter, the PAT has declined to 14 crores.
Yeah.
So what is the reason for that?
All the microfinance companies, not only us, everybody has some legacy loans with them, which people write off over the quarters. I think this is what we have just rescheduled loans were there. That is all written off. So we are just, what should we say, cleaning up the stable.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Vishal from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. One question I had about the yield about in the gold finance business. It has improved by 84 bps in this quarter, but it is still at around 18.2% and not back to the normal level of 21%. I just wanted to understand the yield trajectory from here on.
So, due to this teaser rate loans, our yields had significantly come down in the first quarter. So, we had explained at that point of time that, once this teaser rate loans are migrated, it will, it could improve. So, which has happened in the second quarter, and again, it has improved in the third quarter. So, in the third quarter, it has moved by about 84 basis points. And I think it's not like this teaser rate loans 6.99% has moved to 24%. We have moved these customers in stages, so probably currently those customers might be in 10 to 12%. So depending on how the business scenario is evolving, we'll gradually increase the rates on those loans, and accordingly the overall yield also can improve in the coming quarters.
Okay. Understood. The second, I also wanted to understand on the funding cost part. In this quarter, it has increased by around 20 bps. And if I can see, our absolute borrowing has also decreased quarter on quarter. So did we use the excess liquidity in our balance sheet to contain the funding cost? And also, going forward, how should we think about the funding cost increase?
See, I think we have moderated the on-balance sheet liquidity. Everyone is experiencing now increase in the borrowing cost. So in our case also, borrowing costs has gone up. So that is reflected in the borrowing cost for third quarter. I think incremental borrowing rates are also higher. I think it should move up a little bit in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Understood. Got it. And lastly, I also had one question on the MFI subsidiary. In MFI subsidiary, our credit cost seems to be elevated, and it's not on the improvement trajectory, if I can say so. So I just wanted to understand what's happening there. When should we see the credit cost normalizing in MFI subsidiary?
See, our MFI is as good or better than the general all other MFIs. So credit cost is there. As I was saying in the last question, somebody asked the same question earlier also. There were loans which were rescheduled in the last during the COVID time, etc. And some of those loans, we have just taken an aggressive stand and Not locked in at all. That is why you see the credit costs have gone up in MFI. What I said is, it is our credit costs are definitely better than most other microfinance. So we are nothing. We are better than the others in the MFI. Is that what I wanted to say? Okay. Credit costs are there more. There is no credit cost in gold loan, but there is definitely credit cost in MFI.
Post-COVID loans even are as good as the pre-COVID.
Yeah, the post-COVID loans are as good as the pre-COVID loans. Yes, correct.
Okay. So should we see, I mean, improvement in credit costs going forward now?
Sure. Definitely, we should see better performance, but lesser credit costs going forward.
Okay. Thank you so much. Those are my questions.
Thank you. We have next question from the lineup, Arul Selvan from Independent Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for giving the opportunity. I had a question in a more long-term framework over here. And this was regarding your earlier comments about your plans of increasing the non-gold AUM from the current 12% to maybe 15 to 20% in the future. I hope that part is I got it correct in terms of your future plans. So now what I'm thinking about here is along the lines of given that the return profile, the risk profile, and perhaps even the core underwriting experience, and your expertise as well in each of these segments, be it, let's say, housing loans or microfinance loans, given that these segments are all unique, is there any plans of perhaps, spinning off or demerging this business in the future once it grows to a sizable proportion?
Was that your question?
Yes. That is my question.
Okay. Muthoot, as promoters,
I understand that perhaps it's a little bit too early for me to ask this. Because obviously these things are still at a smaller stage, but I was just trying to understand the...
As promoters of Muthoot Finance, we have been the masters in the gold loan that is accepted, we also accept that. But when it comes to the others, we have CEOs, etc., from the market who are experienced in that in all these other divisions. So we don't plan to grow it and then hive it off, etc. We can certainly have it in our own books and our own company. So whether it is microfinance, whether it is housing finance, we have CEOs, etc., who are experts in those fields, and we have a overall managerial control of them. That is what is our plan. And we have never thought of growing it and then hiding it off to somebody. That thought has never crossed our mind, sir.
Okay. And in terms of which segment, I heard that the housing segment is where Muthoot is planning on focusing on. So is it predominantly housing, or are you also looking at other segments like microfinance and vehicle finance in the near term?
Home loan is one. The personal loan is one. The MSME loan is another. The microfinance is another. So we would focus on all these aspects with separate verticals. These are all separate verticals.
Right. But then you said that you've gotten a new CEO for the housing segment.
The others are existing CEOs. They're also CEOs.
Right. That's it from my side. Thank you.
We have next question from the lineup, Mona Khetan with Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening. I just had one question. So what is the share of loans we have with yields less than 12%?
So it may not be sizable. We don't have the information readily available.
If you could give me a broad sense also, that would be useful.
No, I think we look at the blended yield. Our blended yield comes
because to we run a rebate system, so it's very difficult to freeze a particular level.
Okay. Sure, thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just wanted to understand better on the borrowing cost. Will we see a steeper hike in 4Q than what we've seen in 3Q on the borrowing cost side? And the second question would be on the employee costs. Is it, you know, since attrition, what would be the attrition rate? And, you know, what's the kind of salary hike that you normally give out?
So borrowing cost, you know, for Q3, it was around 8.13%. I think it is, likely to move up in the fourth quarter because, I think in the third quarter, the incremental costs have been going up. So I think it should move, more towards 8.5 in the coming quarters.
Right. I think the third quarter, you had the benefit of some high-cost borrowing also retiring or something like that.
Yes.
So fourth quarter will be higher.
But, the incremental borrowings, because almost all banks now, one-year MCLR is around 8.3-8.5%. So, as and when the reset happens, the rates will move in those ranges.
In those ranges. And on the employees, what would be the attrition rate? And, how has it moved over the last 1-2 years? Because it's,
Last 2 years, after COVID, many of the employees don't want to work. They have been all spoiled beyond repair. Everybody is sitting at home and enjoying, so people now are finding it difficult to come to office to work. And for us, they have to come to office. There is no work from home for a gold loan. So gold loan means the customer comes to the bank. So jokes apart, there is attrition everywhere. It's not attrition going elsewhere. Some of them are just going and sitting at home. That's what my people tell me. They don't know. They are getting PMGY, KMGY, all NRDA, etc. funding, and maybe sitting at home. That is, again, on the lighter side. People go. Attrition is there everywhere. Every industry, there is big attrition. So we normally do some salary hikes and retain and etc. and try to contain this and run the business.
What I'm asking is, we've seen from banks, what I understand is there's been a lot of poaching from the gold finance companies.
That's why I was telling earlier also, some people go there and earlier one person asking whether if they come back, will you take them? So it is like the prodigal son who has gone away and afterwards coming back, we'll take them back if they are good people. So sometimes they feel that they need to go elsewhere.
So would the number be above 20%? The attrition?
Yeah, 20%. The lower level also, the lower level people are the people who just jump away. They don't want to work, madam. Those who join quickly, they just join away and they're not going somewhere else. They are just going home. Or going abroad.
Right. And lastly, sir, on the overall on the cost to income side, can we, assume the long-term trend to be where it is currently, or we see that creeping up? And one more, if I may squeeze in, is on the gold loan.
I think the online
gold loan has that, 36%, I think, is on transacted online is what you put up. So how is it?
So the transacted online is only just a remittance of cash, madam. People remit cash, take cash, but otherwise to take the gold, to check the gold, keep the gold, keep back the gold, it is the physical branch itself. Only the fund transfer transaction can happen online. That is, they can take the funds, they can repay the funds, they can pay the interest. Only that happens online.
Right.
All the other things, checking the gold, taking it, keeping it in the back in the place, taking it back, they have to come to the branch and it is a physical process only.
Right. Okay. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the question and answer session and I'd like to hand the conference back over to the management team for any closing remarks. Over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you investors, those who are again still there, definitely thank you for supporting us. We need your support, we need your insights, we need your advices always.
So we are always there. We are only focused on our business and our growth, and we will see that we will do our best to see that your company, our company, does better and better every time. So thank you all for a good day, and wish you a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.